in open session. So we're going to go to section 4, item 10 and item 13. So item 10, 24-131 regarding Scott Diskin DVM, board may review, discuss, and take action. On completion of critical care and medical record keeping continuing education and submission of surgical observation reports, and may take action to lift practice restriction. And then also 24-131 regarding Scott Diskin DVM, board may review, discuss, and take action on remainder of continuing education plan submitted in compliance with consent agreement. So Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, so in looking at the already completed CE, it looks like it met the critical care and the records keeping. It looked like it met the requirements. So I'm good at stating that those pieces of the CE were completed. We had other CE that we do need to...
I'm sorry, the critical care, and what's the other one?
It was...
Medical record keeping.
Okay.
So those did meet the criteria. I know that there's questions about the remainder of the continuing education because we had put in a request that it was 8 hours of abdominal surgery, continuing education, and that those were to be done as a wet lab. Respondent is stating, well, has shown the different CEs that are available, most of which have already passed and tend to fill up relatively quickly, and did give three options of other CEs, one of which is a surgery center that has a three-day surgical class. The first day does cover everything that we essentially were asking for. But they won't issue a CE, a national certificate stating that he went because he's not planning on doing the other 2 days, which have procedures that are nowhere within the realm of what his practice is. So there's that difficulty, and then the other two that he showed as options were met the criteria as far as the subject matter, but they were all virtual. So that becomes a concern, and that, you know, the goal was to ensure that he was getting the hands-on experience in those surgical pieces. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do, Dr. Thompson. Regarding the one that's multi-day, and he said he only wants to do the first day, do we have from him, did he share what they CE valued just the first day?
I believe it's a full day, so I think that one is probably close. I think he said in his statement, and I'm sorry because it's in two separate areas, yeah. And I keep losing which folder has what name. In his statement, it sounded like that day was an 8-hour CE. We wouldn't necessarily have proof, I guess. However, we could get proof to show that he attended that one of the 3 days.
What can we accept other than a certificate?
Mm-hmm. I guess that's a question,
yeah.
Right?
What would satisfy that?
Because to me, that would be a better solution than saying, okay, go and do 10 hours virtually when you're not getting that hands-on, and which was the issue to begin with.
Well, we could always say these are not satisfactory. Go back and try again.
Or do the
right.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Do the whole course.
Right, right. But yes, that is obviously an option.
And get your certificate, and it'll be satisfied.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's where I think that is where his question is.
We always require the certificate.
Yeah,
it's my recollection. Victoria, can you recall any special circumstances?
Not really. No, kind of.
Would proof of payment and an affidavit from him suffice?
Mm-hmm. You need something that states the CE equivalency and the subject matter.
Well, I don't know. So they won't issue a certificate for completion of one day?
Per his letter,
that's
no.
That's what he said. You'd have to
then I would say it's you got to
go
find something else.
Yeah.
Find something else or complete that whole
course. Or complete
right.
that one.
Which might be in his best interest because he's got 2 years to complete, to find this, and all of the big conferences have already occurred. And the other ones...
He could use the remaining hours to support his renewal,
His future CE.
Right,
because
he's going to have to do his normal renewal anyway, so complete the course, use the 8 hours or whatever it was for this, and then use... That's what I would recommend as far as we agree to.
I mean, I would say technically we can approve this, you know, course with the completion would have to be with the certificate.
Right.
Or he could find another one, but that would be his choice.
Okay. So that will be the recommendation is to either complete the course that he has listed that is the 3-day course, in-person course, that has the 1 day of abdominal surgeries.
Yeah.
And then, again, I can't find...
Didn't
sometimes me Google Drive do not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you said that hands-on surgery was emphasized?
Yes, that one was a hands-on, in-person surgery. So that would be the recommendation. Like, the board will approve that CE if he prefers to try to find another, the completion of this of the day. Of the whole course,
right?
Mm-hmm. And we need that certificate. Otherwise, he needs to find another,
right.
Another alternative. The other question. Oh, so do I have to make because these are two things?
Yeah, two things.
So make a motion to accept the CE that was already completed,
So the first one is the
it's 10,
and then the surgical observation reports, which. Did anybody get the snark in that?
I don't remember asking in that report for him to tell us how many tens of thousands of times he's done that.
And I'm gonna tell you, it probably has not been tens of thousands.
Or why he was distracted in the one that's a focus. So I think that paragraph, I don't accept. The rest of it looks fine.
Well, and again, like the life-threatening complication, we could always draw attention back to the necropsy report, which was
exactly
pretty significant. So,
I'd be fine with making him resubmit this report without that paragraph, but maybe that's too far.
And then I don't know if you guys actually like read through the surgical report. A clamp was applied to the ovarian pedicle, which was then transected by scissors and then ligated with a Miller's knot.
Which one was that?
That was in all.
Oh, I didn't read it that way. It
was
in the wrong order.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the other pedicle used clamps, but this one used a clamp. So I'm just saying that's not necessarily.
Well, he didn't have any control over what he was observing, I guess.
Wouldn't you ligate with Miller knot and then transect it by scissors, though? Wouldn't you?
Usually.
So it's backwards.
Well, I guess my point was on the one pedicle.
Oh no, I saw that. Yeah, I just heard that when you said it, but I was like, but then whenever you read it, I'm like, oh, but it's like backwards.
Well, so in actually some of the high volume spay neuter practices, you'll double clamp. You will cut away your uterus and leave the pedicle clamped and then put on your...
But it wasn't clamped, it was clamped, one clamp.
Right, exactly, that's what I'm saying. So that one is... So they are all technically incorrect because it appears to be copy-paste.
It does.
So
it's just hard whenever you feel like this wasn't taken seriously and this was a really serious case. Like, I don't know. I kind of have questions for Dr. Diskin,
so...
I would agree with that.
He's available right now.
You want to call him?
Not really. I don't really want to call him. I would like to see him. I don't know. I don't know. I just think it was kind of snarky and condescending.
With the paragraph I was...
Yeah.
And you combine that. Yeah. Now we're looking at possible cut and paste for these surgical descriptions all of a sudden were losing confidence.
Well, we could ask him why he wrote it that way.
Yeah.
And make him admit that it was a copy and paste, and then how serious were you on this?
Yeah.
And we could ask questions about that paragraph.
Sure.
I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, that's up to you. I don't want to talk to him on the phone. You guys.
I had suggested that he attend.
You did.
To ask the question.
I agree with you, Nikki. He needs to come in.
Okay.
In person.
So at this point, we would say that we would,
in order to
lift the restrictions, because he needed to fulfill this in order to lift the restrictions on his ability to perform surgery.
Was that also the wet lab, though?
It, from the way that the consent agreement read, it was Section A, was these were the things that needed to be completed in order to practice surgery, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
I'm not a lawyer. So this is what he needed to do, but also at the same time, if the board as a total body does not feel that this necessarily fulfills that due to some questions that were had and that he was asked to come, then I think we probably
he wasn't asked to come. He offered to make himself available, and he is available right now. This practice restriction is posing a severe economic restriction on him and hardship. And that's why he's available now if you have any questions.
No, I think the thing is, Mr. Stoll, is that it doesn't look like it was taken seriously. It's got some serious snark, and then things aren't written
properly.
Well,
I apologize
if
anything is perceived as snarky, but I assure you, he's taking this extremely seriously. This is why
it says the operations are above or identical to the procedure I have performed tens of thousands of times. Tens of thousands. Identical. But then it's not even written properly, which is concerning. So is that why it failed? Because we're doing it incorrectly?
I mean, he's doing this as quickly as possible to lift the practice restriction because this is his bread and butter, his source of income.
Right, but we also have to prioritize the safety of the patients, the public, right? So,
yeah.
So if you have any questions, he's available right now to address them.
So I make a motion that we continue this until the next board meeting and have Dr. Casey call that person to answer questions.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm.
All is in favor?
Oh, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to be a little bit defensive about what was written. But what I would say is, are we going to get something in person that we're not going to get here?
Well, again, like, this needs to get fixed. This
it needs
is not
to get
right.
fixed, but are, but
so it's
if
not going to
be available
get fixed
now.
Today.
Is there a reason that we're
but
waiting?
But he's not going to fix. He's not going to be able to fix this today. We have to get it resubmitted, written properly.
Well, I think we need to understand why it was written like that in the first place.
Right, which he needs to tell us in person.
So my question is there something we're getting out of it being done in person, or are we just frustrated that this is where we're at, and so we're making it?
And I just want to ask a clarifying question. So, Victoria, did you say that you asked him to come in?
I believe...
No, I said that he was available.
I thought he was available by phone, and I said we typically don't call people for this type of thing. And then I think Mr. Stoll said that perhaps he was available.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that. Okay. That's why I said check my memory.
I think what you said is typically they don't appear for these type of hearings.
Okay.
And I said he's available telephonically if they have any questions because he was concerned that if you did have any questions, he didn't want this to continue any longer. And he's available right now.
Right.
People appear here telephonically routinely. And...
If anybody on the board wants to ask him questions over the phone, then again, we have first and second on the first part anyways, but still, to be clear, this is not going to get fixed today because this has to get resubmitted.
Right.
So,
right. So regardless if we spoke to him on the phone right now or we have him come in next month to speak to us,
either way,
he needs to rectify this submittal so he wouldn't be... If we had him, he would not be able to practice until this was rectified. Right. So it may be better for him to rectify this and come in next month for any questions that might be had at that point in time.
Yeah, and by rectify, you mean deletion of the...
Well, the correct write-up.
The correct write-up of the surgical procedure.
Right. He did a lot of cut and paste.
A lot of cut and paste.
So we're not asking him necessarily to go back to revisit the shelter and do this again, the actual visualization again, but asking to write up the surgical report correctly, all five of them, and to redact that paragraph.
Every stay is not the same.
No.
Okay, so we had a first and a second. Do we want to vote on that, or do you want to withdraw it and then go the route Dr. James suggested? Which was
I think just what I said. So that was the...
So withdrawing the first motion then.
Well, so we need to... I will make a motion that in 2431 to redo the surgical... the surgical write-ups for the cases that he submitted, making sure that they are correct in their actual perform the way that it should be performed, and the redaction of the paragraph about his surgical history, and then when it should be submitted to the board, and then the board will review it in next month's board meeting, and he should appear in person for any potential questions that may arise from the review of this submittal.
If he wants to avoid any further delay.
Yes.
Well, but again, this, I just want to make this clear. Even if he was here right now, or on the phone, it doesn't change that this isn't done today.
Correct.
It doesn't matter. Again, the thing is like, I've got some questions about why that first part is in here, but... Also, then you start reading it, and you're like, it's not really the right order. It's not in the right order.
So we may need a second for the motion.
I seconded it.
You seconded the first.
I'll second the second one. Okay, gotcha.
And what is not in the right order?
I would say that as a surgeon, he should be able to look at that and tell us what is not in the correct order.
Not our responsibility. That's his.
Okay, so we have a first and a second voice. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Okay, and then
we also need to discuss the...
Oh, I'm sorry, the remainder of the...
Yes, the remainder of the continuing education plan. So we'll make a motion to accept the CE offering that was in person at the Oquendo Center for the entirety of the CE, if that is something that... He does not
all
want,
3 days.
Yes, the entirety of the CE, all 3 days. If that is not something that he wants to finish, then he will have to find another wet lab CE and submit that for approval.
Okay, so the motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. That completes those items. Section 5, number 2, ordinary rediscuss and take action on case C-2504 regarding Deva Khalsa DVM. One second, sorry, I think it's in the main agenda. I'm not seeing the Sorry, I thought I had it, but I can't find it on my drive. Was it in the main agenda, Toria, or Addie?
I think it's in the main agenda, yes.
Okay.
This is the one about the telemedicine vet. Phone.
Yeah. You can go ahead and run through that if you want. Sorry, I'm still...
It's on.
No, there we go. Do we want the summary on the C case then from... Or just...
Yeah, I don't know if Tracy wants to give a summary.
Tracy, do you want to do a summary on your
investigation? A summary on my summary?
Yeah.
Sure. It's there was a case that came forward with a veterinary that was concerned that Dr. Khalsa was practicing veterinary medicine without having an Arizona veterinary license. And it does appear that she prescribed doxycycline.
Yes.
So I believe Mr. Stoll is her counsel. I'm not sure if he wants to make any statements on her behalf, but in part that at the very least she did provide a prescription of doxycycline. And she is not licensed here in Arizona.
Thank you.
Was there not some diagnosis also involved, or modified diagnosis, Tracy?
Well, she had made some suggestions after reading the medical records that were provided by the animal hospital that the dog was being taken to. And she had requested the pet owner get a blood sample somehow. I think the words were somehow get a blood sample and submit them to the lab that Dr. Khalsa had suggested so she could get those results and to review them.
Thank you.
Okay, and so Mr. Stoll, your counsel on this?
Just briefly, Dr. Khalsa is a 71-year-old semi-retired veterinarian in Pennsylvania. She's semi-well published. She's got 4 books, magazine articles, and has given a number of lectures. And the pet owner sought her out and wanted her local veterinarian, companion veterinary clinic, to send Dr. Khalsa the medical records for a consult. After reviewing the medical records, Dr. Khalsa recommended that she return to her regular veterinarian and suggested some additional tests. She claims in her response that she did not do any diagnosis. And I think this complaint was all precipitated by the local veterinarian taking offense that there was had been a consult with another veterinarian.
Okay.
And
so she didn't
had no, that's not a board certified specialist, correct?
I don't believe so.
So is Dr. Khalsa, is she, what is she an expert in since she's well published? What's her...
I honestly don't know.
Oh. So she did not prescribe doxycycline then?
Yes, she did.
No, I'm asking if that's her position.
I think there was a prescription.
But well, if she
told him to.
But I mean,
I don't know that she actually wrote a prescription or did she recommend it. I honestly don't know.
It was she said put it my name on it and get it from Chewy.
Right.
Is how it happened. And put my name on it. That's her prescribing it.
Yeah.
And the local vet didn't prescribe it. So couldn't have said, well, it was being prescribed by the local vet. I was just facilitating. No.
Okay. Not really sure.
What would you like to do? I mean, what you really want to see is really not get off and not do it in the future.
Right. Sure.
Slowly.
Perhaps a cease and desist letter.
Tracy, what kind of communications have we sent so far? Can you refresh my memory?
So we meet to Dr. Khalsa?
Yes.
We sent a letter to her notifying her of the open investigation, and it does have some language in there reminding the individual of the Arizona Veterinary Practice Act and what's allowed and what isn't allowed, I guess I should say. So I didn't know if the board would feel an educational letter would be appropriate or if a cease and desist would be better.
Thoughts from other...
Based upon my conversation with her, she didn't think that she was doing anything wrong, so perhaps an educational letter would be in order.
I could go either way.
I'm going to
educate.
Yeah, this could
reasonable.
Yeah.
This could go to it if it's not strongly worded as a cease and desist would be, and she gets an educational letter from Arizona. Well, I just won't do that in Arizona. So. I'll prescribe all over the country, but I won't do it in Arizona. So I'm not sure we're getting to where we want to be in her understanding that this is not okay. So I would want a cease and desist.
Okay.
Or wording, we mean it.
Yeah.
So, okay, cease and desist. Are there, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, but maybe Victoria knows or Mark, are there other states that are, like, don't have a problem with you practicing in their state without a license?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I would think that.
Because I feel like why this is kind
yeah,
of,
this is
the, I'm confused as to why that would be surprising. As a professional that had to have a license in whatever state, and apparently a long time professional. This is not new to them.
Yeah.
That's why I'm puzzled. So I wouldn't be against a cease and desist, but how long has this been going on for? This is my other question.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it something that we can reach out to the other state where she holds a license and say, hey, here's a copy of our, you know, letter, like, if we end up getting a cease and desist, I would want that.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Any thoughts, or if you want that or not?
I can inform the other with the cease and desist.
Yeah.
And informing her other, where she's licensed.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we know where she's licensed?
I mean, we know it's not in Arizona.
hold on.
But do we know, I'm assuming it's California, but...
Pennsylvania is where she resides.
So it says,
hold on. That doesn't matter.
Well, if we're going to inform them, we need to know who it is.
Well, AAVSB could probably help with that, too. I mean, there was fees and everything charged for her services, so this wasn't like in passing recommendation. It was an engaged, you know, service. Okay, well, I would make a motion to issue a cease and desist and inform any states where she carries a professional license to be sent a copy of the cease and desist issue.
Second.
So a motion and a second.
Would we do anything if we got a letter on one of our licensees about a cease and desist in another state? Would that make a difference?
Depends on what they were doing, probably.
I mean, I'm just wondering if we'd do anything about it or if it would just go blind to nowhere. Or does it become part of their record?
We can do it as a courtesy from one jurisdiction.
But I don't know what the courtesy is, because I don't know what
it's up to them what they
would
do.
Right. We can't know what they would do with it.
I mean, I'm fine with it, but it just seems like a lot of work for no real action.
Call for the vote. It would take longer just to find where all the state license stamps have been.
There's no quick database you go to.
AASB.
If they'll share that.
I'm just curious.
We can certainly do it. It's not going to be the top priority like we discussed.
Right.
Okay. So motion and second.
Yep.
All's in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Motion passed. Can we have a roll call for that, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to move to our section 3, informal interviews. I'm just going to switch our recording over.